This is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. Thank you for joining us. I'm Simon Beals, your host for this episode. We have a great show for you today. Benoit Lebrun from TechMed 3D is with us to discuss how 3D scanning is more important to the P&O community than ever. Welcome, Benoit.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having me today.
So Benoit has been with TechMed since 2013 and is currently the North American sales director for them. Also, we have to give a full disclosure. Benoit has been integral in helping Orthoped launch the Orthoped app named Capture, which is available in the App Store now. Okay, I want to kind of jump right in because scanning, I think, is awesome. Let's be very technical about how I describe it. I think it's just the coolest thing. And I have such a good time when I get to do it. So let's start with kind of a really basic kind of question in very, very simple terms. How does the TechMed 3D scanning technology work?
Thanks for that, Simon. Yeah, you know, at TechMed, our DNA and really the way we approach things is really, we're first a software company. So we add on different scanning technology and scanning hardware to work with our software that we call MSOC. So there's a bunch of different scanners on the market, bunch of different technology. We can think about, you know, white light scanner, but also, you know, iPads combined with occipital structure sensor. So that's what we're at TechMed, we're integrating and making sure it's working well. So, it can be break down in three easy steps. So scanning is one of the first time when you're capturing the data. Then at TechMed, we have a bunch of options of, you know, adding notes, you know, comments, you know, you could, you know, take pictures, videos of the actual patient, and then upload the actual scan to be able to work with it, converting to what we call in the industry a bit more generic files such as STL or OBJ, and be able to you know, use that file to complete the fabrication process.
I think one of the most exciting things about kind of doing the scan is exactly what you mentioned, that capacity to be able to add additional information. So when we send these out to our vendor partners that are actually going to use them to actually build something, I think it's so important that we're able to add either those notes or pictures or video in some cases, because the people that are actually going to make these devices at the other end are at a disadvantage not having actually seen that patient. And the amount of information that we're able to acquire in addition to the scan, I think one just links right up with the other and just makes a more seamless process. You know, we never want to have to do a scan and then for whatever reason there's data that wasn't captured and have to bring a patient back in. So that capacity, I think, is super important.
I totally agree with you, Simon.
So what's the difference? So when I first started many, many moons ago, the only scanning option available was the Creaform white light scanner before the occipital camera was kind of the prevalence that it is now. What's the difference between kind of a Creaform white light scanner and what we're seeing now from TechMed?
You know, different technology, a bit different interface, but, you know, all the processing of the scan, once it's being done and, you know, what's happening after is similar, but it's really capturing the data that is now a bit different compared to the white light. If you talk about, you know, the iPad scanning and, you know, the structure sensor, the technology is a bit different. And the way we're capturing now the data is a bit different as well, but also more affordable and, you know, maybe a bit more user-friendly, since we're talking about, you know, just a little piece of hardware attached to an iPad. There's no cords, there's no, you know, USB port. You don't have to carry around your laptop anymore like you had to do with the white light scanner. So that makes a huge difference for the clinicians ultimately when they're capturing the data. And then, you know, what's happening after is it's a bit the same if you use a laser, white light, or, you know, a different, more high-end scanners. But, you know, capturing you know, is really where it has a big advantage of using this. This is a bit more affordable and, you know, portable scanning method.
Is there a significant difference in the quality of the data that you will derive from using the iPad scanner? And I'm talking in terms of reference of kind of the objects that we are scanning for. So, you know, knees, torsos, residual limbs, hands.
It's a good question. It's always a tricky question because obviously those scanners that are a bit more expensive, what were the scanners that we call a bit more, you know, more professional, even internally at TechMed, we use those white light scanners as a reference scanners when we compare to new technology out there, new scanners, you know, arriving in the market. So that's, it's fair to say that those white light dots really, really, really precise. At some point, why those, you know, sensors are more and more used is because, yes, they're maybe a little bit less precise compared to those white lights, but, you know, maybe those white lights are maybe a bit, I don't really like the term, but you know, I don't have any better way of saying it, but a bit overkill. So it may be a bit too precise, or you don't need that level of precision to make a good device at the end. And this is, and it's not a, you know, what TechMed thinks, it's what, you know, what the market and the industry and the clinicians themselves just realize, and, you know, central fabs over years, that, you know, it's, we still get, you know, good enough scans to make precise and accurate brace at the end of the day. So that's why, you know, it's, we think it's really interesting to consider those scanners and sensors.
Right. So what was the biggest obstacle kind of that you are encountered to, that you need to overcome in adapting the structure camera?
You know, there wasn't really no obstacle. You know, it's pretty easy to use because it combines two, you know, a little sensor that is pretty much, you know, easy to understand. There's one cable plugged in the actual iPad, and the other piece of equipment you need is an iPad. So, you know, a lot of people are used to those, you know, piece of equipment. They've used an iPad before, so it's really, at this point, it's even, you know, a bit easier to use than, you know, have like a power supply cable, a USB cable plugged in a computer. It's, you know, using the actual structure sensor, structure camera is made everything a bit more, you know, simpler. And then you have this app that you download from App Store. So again, all those things are, you know, common ground for the majority of the users. So that's, I would say, in terms of obstacle, it wasn't really nothing really tremendous to go over to be able to use it.
Okay.
The only thing though, look, and it's funny because the only thing that we get a lot is just to make sure the battery of that sensor is charged. There's a little battery inside that sensor that needs to be charged as well, along with the actual iPad battery. It's different and separated. You know, we see that and we forget to mention, but we see that a lot, that needs to be, you know, charged, and make sure at the end of the day, when you finish your day, you have to plug it in to make sure when you see the patient that next day, it will be, you'll be able to use it right away. So that's a funny thing that we forget to mention, but it's kind of important.
It's super important. It's part of my regular end of day type of thing. If I happen to be in a hotel, I will commandeer every single plug in the entire hotel room to charge my two phones, two iPads, one computer, one structure camera, AirPods, you know, just the essentials to get out the door the following day.
Yeah.
So 3D scanning and the P&O community, we have, you know, all of our P&O professionals. What would be the most convincing argument for a clinician to switch from, and I'll say, conventional plaster shape capture to engaging in 3D scanning?
Well, you know, 3D scanning has been really important to community for sure. You know, there's so many advantages for clinicians to use that. Time saving is one of the key ones. Making sure, you know, those scans are, regardless of who in the clinics does it, are, you know, always captured the same way. You know, there's so many differences in terms of casting when you refer to an individual. Even the same clinician would cast the same patient, for example, a couple of times. There's good chances that they get, you know, a different result at the end of the day. So I think scanning takes away that, you know, margin of error, because it always will capture the external shape as it presents itself to the scanner. So I think that's a really, really a good tip right there, to just make sure, you know, and convince a bit the people to use it. You know, turnaround time, no more, you know, storage, archiving. It's easy to scan and then just have a 3D data. It's a 2 meg file that you store on the computer now, or on your iPad, and you're good to go. If you want to do some redo, for example, you don't necessarily have to see the patient again. If you just want to replace, order a new one because it's broken at some point, you know, it's just convenient to have another brace. You know, you already have the scan in. You don't necessarily need to see the patient again. You could just reproduce what you've done and just, you know, replace it. So that's, and there's so many other advantages, but I think those are the key ones.
Absolutely. Are there limits as to what we can expect to be able to do with scanning, do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously, and Yes. Because, and what we get a lot from those clinicians is like, they cannot be hands-on anymore. And that's a big, I would say that's a major problem for some clinicians, not to be able to manipulate, not to be able to pinpoint touch and, basically do what they've been told and what they learn in school, how it's more and more schools have their technology as well. But, you know, that's one of the major issue that we get and we hear a lot is not being able to be hands-on anymore. And I think that's fair. I think that's totally fair. But, you know, the thing that you have to keep in mind and keep in consideration is that, you know, scanning is not a all-in solution. It's not that because you have a scanner in your clinic that now you have to use it all the time for all the brace you do, all the different devices that you do. It's you can slowly take in scans. If you like to cast and cast and just still continue to do it, but want to have this digital approach, why don't you just, you know, take a cast manually using Plaster, for example, and then scan your cast or split it in half and do some kind of split cast, a version of the scan. And then you can keep the scan as an archive and keep it in your record. But also, we could also, you know, outsource using that scan to have this device fabricated elsewhere and start slowly getting into, you know, the digital field. And I think that's a really good way to do it. For example, at TechMed, you know, in our app, there's when it's time to scan to get an insole fabricated, we offer three options, whether it's a non-weight bearing options, scanning only the plantar aspect of the foot, whether it's a semi-weight bearing combined with the old foot plate, transparent glass where you can scan as well, or foam boxes. Those three options are there in the app because we're not here to say, look, this is how you should capture or how you should scan. It's more of a how you get the best results. And here's all the options that are available to be able to do it. So that's a bit our vision here.
I think we've been successful as well in many clinics in doing exactly what you just mentioned, almost a hybrid of approaches, depending on what some of those limb shapes or body parts look like. If there's a lot of redundant tissue on a leg, for example, if you're doing a knee brace, you know, we want to be able to control that soft tissue. We don't necessarily want to kind of capture that shape as is. And doing a plaster cast or, you know, literally wrapping a leg in saran wrap to control that tissue and then being able to scan over top of it gives you that the advantage of both plaster and tissue control. True. But then digitizing that image, and now you've got that shape as you mentioned.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
3D scanning, I mean, it's definitely changed over the last, you know, certainly even since I've been involved with Orthoped. How has the scanning process evolved at TechMed? Without getting too technical, how have you seen that progression of scanning?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's without being too technical, I remember like my first day or my first year at TechMed, laser scanner were the top portable scanners at that time. So, you know, and it's a completely different technology, but still at that time it was amazingly good. And it was really nice to see those scanners. And I was impressed, but you know, laser scan involves, you know, you need positioning targets all over the place. You know, it's a mandatory. You need those to be able to capture scans. So whether it's you stick those markers on the actual patient or you do some kind of a jig, it was a bit crazy what we were able to do with those limitations. It was a bit slower, obviously. The computer needed like some crazy requirements, what we call the express card back there. It's like it's something that is not common, you don't see anymore. And it was kind of heavy, not completely movement tolerant. You know, now with white lights and sensors as well, occipital sensor, it's way better because, you know, it focuses on the actual shape itself. So it captures the data, outside data, and follows that shape and you don't need those markers anymore. And I think that's a really, really a big thing. And now the iPads and iPhones as well, you can scan with it. So you don't need the computers, like we were saying before, like cables and, you know, wires here and there. And yeah, so that makes, you know, everything really simpler. And it's a huge, huge difference and huge change, I think, from where I started.
So what would you say to those clinicians that, you know, maybe looked at scanning a while ago, and a while could be, you know, a few years ago to many, many years ago when it first came out? What would you say to those clinicians that kind of looked at scanning, started and said, you know what, no, it's not for me. It's too complicated or too cumbersome, or, you know, I could have casted, you know, X number of patients in the amount of time it's going to take me to actually capture using a scan. What would you say to those individuals?
Well, you know, a bit like we said earlier, it's not an all-in solution. So we don't have to look at it like it's now I'm using scanner. It's the only thing I'm going to use. And, you know, I have to take away that casting, options. It's really where could you benefit from the scanners, where you could save time, where you could get more better results. And, you know, by talking to others around you as well, colleagues, and, you know, and looking at the industry and trying to get a bit interested a bit more of what's out there, I'm sure that inside the practice, there's areas in your practice that could be improved by those scanners. And it doesn't have to be 100% to make it, you know, the solution or why you would use it or not. You should look at where could that new technology and new approach could help me in my practice. And I'm sure there's answers to that.
And so, I mean, that just, it's very natural lead in to my next question. We're absolutely seeing an ever-increasing prevalence of 3D printing and 3D printers in a growing number of clinics that are bringing 3D printed solutions, and they're adding 3D printing into their repository of tools that they use to help patients. How does scanning and digital shape capture play a role in this kind of evolution with respect to 3D printing?
Yeah, and you're right, Simon. It's not a revolution. It's really an evolution, because it's been there and now it's getting more and more adapted to the industry. And thanks to like tons of like great companies that have been, you know, pushing and trying to understand how this new era, the 3D printing era, how could we benefit from that? And, you know, there's a bunch of companies out there, and just the number of company involved now, and when you go in trade shows and when you look online, you see that it's not something that's going to fade away. To me, it's something that is more and more there. So you just think about, you know, companies like Inbend Medical, Active Armor, Mercurius, Shapeshift, Hypergynic. These companies really are really focusing, putting 100% of their efforts into, you know, developing, making sure the material fits and, you know, are satisfying enough for the industry, that, you know, the time at turnaround time, you know, and how the design works, you know, makes sense for those clinicians to, at the end, you know, save time and get a better fitting. And, you know, I think in terms of scanning, the scanning is the beginning of the loop. So what we say in tech med is garbage in, garbage out. So if you
have is that a technical term?
I don't think it's a technical term. I think it's what we like to say, because, and, you know, we forget it often, because, but it's having a good scan. Like I said, beginning of the loop, scanning is the key. So, and I think scanning is going to be there for a long time as well, if you consider the entire industry and, you know, around it, for sure.
All right. So right before I kind of jump into the physical aspects, the technical aspects of scanning, I'm curious, because you have North American exposure, what does scanning look like in the U.S.? How is Canada compared to the U.S.? Are we kind of, do you think we're ahead of the scanning curve here in Canada, or is the U.S. kind of, you know, adopted more quickly to the notion of scanning?
I wouldn't say that we're behind or in front. I think what we have to consider, and I would say Canada and U.S. really are a bit have the same thinking about ONP in general. From what I'm seeing, there's some differences between, you know, Europe and North America, in Asia, Europe, North America. So that's where we find the biggest, you know, differences. And I think differences is just the approach that we have to take in consideration. But, you know, the final work, you know, is they all have the same goal to, you know, best fit and best help the actual patients at the end of the day. So I wouldn't say Canada is behind or nor really in front. I think for Canada, we're lucky, because we have like 4 schools in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm forgetting one, please let me know. I need to reach out to them. You know, Quebec has one, you know, Montreal has one, Ontario, BC. So we're lucky to be part of a country, I think, that has a bunch of schools, good schools. And, you know, all of those schools are equipped at some point with, whether it's 3D scanners, a milling machine, a 3D printer, bunch of different, you know, CAD software to do the design and modification. So that's, I don't think we're behind at all. I think, and being in school always been, you know, a target for us as well, making sure we can provide some good information and good technology right at the beginning of the process when people are learning and when the students learning, future clinicians learning about what they're going to do in life. You know, that's, I think that's a key thing to be able to present at least, and not only the tech med material, but any what's out there. So be familiar with different scanners, different software, and then you're going to pick and choose which one you're going to, you would like to work with. And when you're going to go out from school as well, finish up your degree, those students will be looking for a company that will allow them to continue to use those technologies. So I think that's a key thing. And I think Canada, we're in a good place.
Excellent. And absolute shout out to all of our schools in Canada. I think they do a great job at exposing the students to, you know, kind of that leading cutting edge technology so that they, when they do get out into the field, you know, their impact is felt immediately. And at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to, you know, servicing patients and providing the best patient care that's possible. So let's talk a little bit about actual kind of the physicality and the process of scanning. So what are some of the tips that you can recommend? I realize, you know, depending on what body part that you're actually going to be scanning, there's obviously differences, but what are some, in general, some of the tips that you could provide to our listeners in terms of scanning to create a new device?
Well, it has been developed to be more, you know, really intuitive. So it's, and that's a key thing. So in general, when someone's picking up a scanner, they should be able to produce a good quality scan almost the first time. But, you know, we just like traditional method, there's some learning required and some understanding, you know, how the technology works. And there's one key thing that is really simple with scanners, and that's the same for all the scanners. You have to, well, there's a few things, but, you know, the distance required from where it should be from the patient, I think, is the key. And if you have in mind that you always have to be in some kind of orbit around the model you're scanning, always keeping that same distance. And a bunch of app and, you know, software out there tells you where you're too close and where you're too far. Same with TechMed. We have that meter, that gauge, that telling you when you're a bit too far, too close. But keeping that distance, that optimal distance is really the key. And that will help, you know, in the quality scan at the end in terms of precision and quality, but also, you know, in the tracking. Because the major point when people get discouraged a bit, you know, about using a technology or a scanner is sometimes when you use tracking often, they're not able to complete a full scan when the patient is in. And that creates some frustration for sure. And that you know, diminishes really the level of, you know, of trust of those, you know, clinicians with throughout the actual technology you're using. So being able to have something, you know, that is, and looking at your screen. So when you, it's easier now when you, with using an iPad, you have this camera and you look at the screen and you can, you know, scan. But, you know, with those white lights, you have this computer and, you know, it's, you have normally the sense of looking at what you're doing. So watching the scanner and the flash of light and everything, but looking at the screen of the computer where the scanner is plugged, that's a key thing to make sure you perform a good scan.
And how about patient positioning? How important is that when you're going to be doing a scan?
Just, you know, again, and if I'm bringing that again, but, you know, as long as, and I know it's hard sometimes in clinics to have enough room around the patient to be able to capture all the data. But that's, again, that's a key thing. So if you have, and the distance you must respect from the patient is, you know, 1 foot, foot and a half, maybe 2 feet, depending on the technology you're using. So that means 2 feet all around the model you want to scan. So that it's most of the time, just make sure you have enough room to be able to proceed the complete scan. And, you know, the scanner won't scan something it doesn't see. So you have to really have a mindset that's not, you know, look at the screen, see where the spots are missing, and same thing with the iPad. So it's really something that you must consider. Enough room setup is crucial. Make sure you've tested out before the patient came in, and with one of staff or even yourself, or a lot of people use their kids, daughter, you know, son, to be able just to proceed, complete a full scan, practice this a bit, see how it works, see what works, what doesn't. And then, you know, when you've done that, when we perform, when you perform scans over and over, and then the patient gets in, you're totally, you know, comfortable, then you're going to do great.
I think it's really important. I've been around clinicians where they're new to scanning and kind of, you know, they may have done it in a training session, but haven't kind of then kind of practiced it outside of that. And as soon as you put a patient in front of them, there's a certain pressure that you want to capture that shape, and you want it to be a good experience for the patient. And people can get a little panicky sometimes if all of a sudden, you know, it's not working the way they remember they thought it would work, or something along those lines. So I found that, you know, being comfortable kind of in a non-stressful environment and making sure that you are comfortable in using the scanner when you have a patient in front of you, the experience just goes, is so much easier.
Absolutely. They are the expert, but they're not necessarily expert in scanning. So they have to, and they don't want to look like they're not an expert, but they are, and, you know, and they're practice 100%. But you'll just be comfortable enough with the tool you're using as an expert to make the whole experience, you know, better for the patients.
I've often described scanning as a clinician as an artist, and scanning is a different medium of capture than they were used to doing. If they were a painter, you know, now you're a sculptor. Now you're still an artist, and you're still applying those kind of interpretations, but it's a different medium and it takes practice. Exactly. No less skill, but it does take practice to be able to translate that knowledge that you had of what you use, and to be able to manipulate kind of a limb in plaster, to then crossing that over to a digital format, which in some cases is more difficult because it's going to do exactly what you tell it to do. And you lose that kind of touch feel that you may be used to with plaster.
Absolutely. It's a tool. It's the extension of what you use to be able to capture the data, but you're totally right.
I think the other important thing that I try to remind people is also knowing the specifics of from the supplier or the vendor or whoever is going to be using this image, to understand what they need from that scan. So it may be positioning. You know, we may need a limb to be in full extension during that scan.
Exactly.
You know, and it creates challenges for them if the limb is slightly flexed in that scan. They would prefer it to be in full extension. You know, others, you need to create a curve or remove a curve from an area. And I think that's the other important factor for scanning, is understanding the needs of kind of the eventual kind of user that's going to have to take that scan and then create a device from it.
But on the bright side, commenting what you're saying is, like, traditionally it's you would have to call and or tell them, you know, or just, you know, meet with the clinician to say, you know, at some point you should do this and that. Now with the technology such as an iPad, for example, you can put tutorials, you know, right in front of your eyes, right before the scan, for example, explaining and showing exactly how you want this scan to be done. So that's, I think that helps a bit in terms of, you know, making sure the positioning before scan is optimal and is good.
Well said. So before we end off, you know, I always like to kind of find out what's coming down the pipe. What does the future look like? Any tidbits that you're able to kind of offer out to our listeners as to kind of what can we expect in the future? Where is this going?
Well, I expect 3D printing to be more and more out there and more used. That's for sure. It's not something that's going to fade away. It's something that people would be continue using with better material and better, you know, technique and design to be able to improve the actual industry in general. But in terms of scanning, I think the next step that is really not far from us, so I'm maybe not, you know, giving any information that nobody knows, but, you know,
we won't tell anybody. You can say whatever you'd like and we won't say anything.
It's just, you know, this using the iPhone or phones now, it's becoming more and more of the next big thing, or how people will capture the data. So being able to not having to purchase an extra piece of hardware or an iPad dedicated to that computer or expensive hardware, it's now people will be able to get, you know, quality scans and, you know, accurate scans and precise scans that will, you know, work the same way than they were used to with the a bit more expensive machine, and being able to do that on your phone. I think that's for us, that's what we're focusing on, and making sure we're can provide that kind of technology as soon as we feel that it's good enough to replace or to at least, you know, be another solution offered by TechMed. But I think that's the next big thing, and it opens up, you know, a lot of different market, a lot of different industries. So I know we're ONP focus here, Simon, but you know, I think if you imagine anybody could scan using your phone, anything quickly, easily, there's tons of opportunity out there that can be we can think of. And again, it's I think that's the next thing would making the iPhone scanner or phones in general scanner a bit more available to everyone.
So for any of those clinicians out there that are still using their flip phone, they're going to have to upgrade if they want to scan using their phone. That's what I'm hearing from that.
We should remember. And you know, another thing, that's some things that it doesn't mean that, you know, the experience of the clinicians it's gets away, you know, it just means that, you know, people will be able to capture easily, you know, and you know, we talk about telemedicine, you know, there's a bunch of other things out there, but it's just, you know, helping getting a better capture quickly and then use those same, you know, experts to diagnose everything and just, you know, make sure they have the proper device at the end of the day to help them. But you know, I think iPhones or phones in general, scanners are the next thing.
Benoit, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you, Simon. It's been a real pleasure to be here with you again. Thanks for the opportunity of letting me talk a bit about what we love and what passion the TechMed and the crew and the staff for 12, 13 years now.
Thank you. And with that, I'd also like to say thank you to our listening audience for tuning into this episode. We'd like to thank Benoit from TechMed 3D for stopping to talk with us. Again, to see the TechMed technology in action, download the OrthoPed Capture app, which is available on the Apple Store right now. Of course, if you have a show or topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@orthoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your podcast app to receive updates. And if you enjoy the show, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Positive Outcomes is a production of OrthoPed ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and hosted by Jeff Newell and myself, Simon Beals. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.